Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Recently, a hospital became the first to offer treatment for internet addiction. Maybe someday they'll do the same for TV addiction. Today, principles to help your family avoid either addiction and reset their focus on God. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on the enemy inside your home.
A little while ago, just about an hour ago, we dedicated a baby to the Lord. And one set of grandparents told me, they live on a farm south here of Illinois, and they said that they raised their 7 children without a television set. How much do you think those kids actually lost? Yeah, go ahead and clap. And now all those of you who clapped, get rid of yours. They said that their children felt sorry for others who'd have so few experiences in life that all that they would do is sit on the couch and watch TV. The kids really didn't miss a whole lot in terms of growing up and in terms of what is truly, truly valuable. So we have to clean up our own acts. That's why when it comes to this business of commitment, I have to admit that the real issue is whether or not we're desperate. If you're not yet desperate, this is just going to go swish over your head. But for those of you for whom it is intended, because you are desperate and determined to no longer be hooked on what hooks you, you will respond and you'll do some drastic things and put them in place. Like Jesus said, you cut off your hand, you pluck out your eye, you do whatever you need to do so that you don't keep falling into the pit. And so the second thing is we have to clean up our own act. Third, if you're a parent, this is for you, we have to set family standards. And the standards have to be based on the Word of God. Your teenagers are going to argue with you. Oh, you just don't like Madonna, you know. Or you don't understand. When a movie is PG-14, it means that all 14-year-olds are supposed to see it. And you don't understand that. And so they'll give you this hard time. But what you need to do is to put those standards in place. You need to stand on those standards and insist on them. And in this way, your kids have structure. You know, I take the point of view, and I know a few disagree, but that's okay. They can come up later and ask for forgiveness. No teenager should ever have a television or the internet in their room. I remember when I was teaching in a seminary, a guy gave a testimony of how his parents trusted him with it in his room and how it led down this terrible path that you can only imagine. Remember what to say if your kids say, well, you don't trust me. You know what to say to them. The correct answer is, no, I don't. That's what you say to them. And then you say, because I don't even trust myself. It's not a matter of trust. This is a matter of desire that is built into us by God. We are sexual creatures from the bottom of our feet to the top of our heads, and let's just recognize that we are. And that temptations that are out there are powerful, seductive, and very difficult to say no to. And so what you do is you have a family standard. Number 4, you need help. We all do. That's why it's so important to attend church. It's important to connect with other people and in our families to talk, to connect, not in a condemning way. Your children are going to see things that it would have been better if they had never seen, but accept that reality. There's no way if you're going to live in this culture, you know, unless you are to live in a monastery. There's no way to live in this culture without your children being exposed to this, and you need to talk to them about it, and you should not be shaming them as a result of their preoccupation with some of these images. It's not a time for shame, because shame often just fuels the addiction. So what you need to do is to back off and to help your children and to help yourself to see the bigger perspective and to recognize that with God's help, there is help here, there is deliverance, but at the same time, what you do is you talk, you discuss, you connect. And remember, as I've emphasized in this series, rules without relationship equals rebellion. It's relationships that help us most. Finally, we must practice the spiritual disciplines. We're looking for victory over here, and we're looking for this intervention over there and some dramatic experience that will bring about deliverance. And God says what you should be doing is what you and I should be doing all the time. The Word of God washes us. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them there is great reward. It's the Word of God that cleanses us and keeps us. The way to have your devotions, and by the way, as part of this series, one of the messages is entitled The Power of Praying Parents, where I'm going to be emphasizing how to pray Scripture so that every single day you walk away from the Word of God with a snatch of Scripture in your heart that you carry with you throughout the day, and I'll be giving some illustrations of how those kinds of passages of Scripture can be prayed. Because at the end of the day, what we really need is the intervention of Almighty God. Without it, we are helpless. Now, there's something else that is important. There are many of you who are listening to this, and you haven't taken the first step toward deliverance. You know, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And the angels said in Matthew chapter 1, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. So you see, what we must recognize is that to receive Jesus Christ as Savior gives us a new nature. It gives us new desires that now are in conflict with our old desires, and that's what we've been talking about, but at least we have the basis for deliverance and freedom. Remember the story of Augustine, the famous Christian philosopher who lived in the 400s. He was into debauchery of every kind, had a mistress. And then as a result of reading, actually, the 14th chapter of Romans, where it talked about laying aside the unfruitful works of darkness, it is then that he was converted. And later on, he was walking down the street, and his mistress was running behind him, and she shouted to him, "It is I!" And he turned around, and he said, "But it is not I." In other words, I'm a new person now. I'm going in a different direction. I don't have to be attached to all those things because Jesus came to set his people free, but it doesn't mean that there isn't a struggle. And the deeper that we are into the world, the more difficult the struggle, but it is a winnable war because Jesus died that we might be free from the effects and the power of the world. Amen. There is a story about Ferus the horseman. I've read different dates when this supposedly happened, but it is only a legend, so it doesn't matter what the date supposedly is. How that he was going through the Arabian desert, and suddenly, in the distance, the horses that he was with, and he had a herd of horses, they saw a mirage, and they began to run toward the water, what they thought was water. But he blew on his bugle, and six mares turned around and came with him and didn't run. And the legend is that it is from those six mares that you have the very famous Arabian horses. Today, our society is mad with a mirage of pleasure. Everybody is running in every direction. We can't live without technology, even for a few moments. And of course, what we have to do is to distinguish its value from its detriment and from its temptations and its seduction. But the world is mad over entertainment. God is in heaven and he's blowing his bugle and he's saying, "Is there anyone listening? Will you turn around? Will you do whatever is necessary that you may no longer be seduced by the world, so that you might be able to live for me in a way that is honorable and pure and decent? That's the question that all of us have to face in this world that has gone mad. Now, I've given you a lot of information, and your response to this message is going to be different. There are some who say, well, you know, that's very nice, but I'm deeply into this and I have no intention of changing. There are others of you who perhaps feel very deeply that you need to do something drastic. Could I ask you to do whatever God has asked you to do that you know right well you should, even if you seem powerless to do it? Because if we're going to fight for our families, we're going to have to deal with the issue of technology and the entertainment industry. And then there are those of you who have never received Christ as Savior. You have no personal relationship with God. Though you admire God and you admire Jesus, He's not become your Savior. This is an opportunity for you to acknowledge your sinfulness and your need and look to Christ, who died for sinners and who came to deliver us from our sins. You respond to God even as God has spoken to you. Join me as we pray. Our Father, we ask today that you might help us to have the courage and the strength to do whatever you require of us for your glory and for your honor. Lord, we're particularly concerned about those who find themselves in an addiction today, find themselves helpless in the power of huge forces, and they've tried 1,000 times to be free. We ask, Father, help them to see that through Jesus and through your people and your word, that deliverance is a possibility and a reality. We read, and Father, oftentimes we sing, He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. Show us that today, we ask. And now, before I close, what is it that you, my friend, have to say to God today? Would you tell Him what you know you must do? Our Father, we ask that Jesus will reign in our homes, no matter what it takes. We ask in His blessed name. Amen. And my friend, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior as a result of listening to messages on Running to Win, would you let us know? Simply go to moodymedia.org and you can connect with us. And we're so glad that many of you experience transformation by allowing the Word of God to have free course in your heart. That's our desire as well. And this series of messages on the family, as you know, is critically important.
Yes, it is, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Pastor Lutzer wrapped up The Enemy Inside Your Home, his 7th message on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, the hurt and healing of abuse. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.